Welcome to our eighth novena night. Our topic this evening is imitating Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. The hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why does imitation prove admiration and love? I'll give you a personal example. As an 18-year-old, when I began studying at a small liberal arts college, we called our professors tutors, since there were only 15 in a class. I admired all my tutors, but especially one who seemed the most brilliant and holy. He had a quirk, though, which my classmates and I unconsciously imitated, putting his finger to his mouth before he spoke. When I came home, my family thought me strangely different in some way. When I entered the IHMs and until my final vows, sisters would lovingly tease me about this quirk. Why did I do this? I admired this tutor who I saw pray a long time after Mass, who was interested in us, who spoke so brilliantly. From this example and many of your own, we can say that imitating another consists of being with the person and practicing the virtue we admire. In regard to Our Lady, St. Louis de Montfort tells us that the essential practice of devotion is to perform all our actions with Mary. This means that we must take her as the model for all we have to do. One way to help us imitate Mary is being with her. How can we be with Mary? I'll give you five examples. First, when rising from bed in the morning, tell her something like this. Mary, I give you all I am, choose, desire today. Help me. Of course, we also add the morning offering in which we give all to God through her Immaculate Heart. Before going to sleep, we can offer our sleep to her and ask her to protect us during the night. Second, praying the rosary. The rosary is a powerful way to be with our mother. I know of people today who say all four mysteries of the rosary. It's a kind of movement. They pray the rosary, for example, while driving to work. And one person told me she feels it's not well done, yet Mary has transformed their lives, brought seemingly impossible conversions of loved ones, and most of all, these people were with her. Third, be affectionate with our mother. I know of a lady who rises in the night and has a visit with Mary, calling her Mom. Others call her Mama Mary. And why not? These individuals are aware of her presence and, most of all, are with her. The more we are with someone, the more we imitate her or him. Fourth, say a Hail Mary before a decision, an action, or a talk. Fifth, be quiet and try to listen to her. Ask her, Mary, What would you have me think, say, or do? Another way to imitate Our Lady is to practice one of her virtues. Tonight we'll look at one, her amiability, from the title Mother Most Amiable. Just what does amiability mean? Amiability means, first of all, friendly. But more deeply, it means lovable, coming from the Latin amare, to love. Out of his list of virtues to imitate Mary, St. Louis de Montfort identifies two: angelical kindness and ardent love, which we can say fall under amiability. St. John Henry Newman describes our mother's amiability with these words: "It was her beautiful, sinless soul, which looked through her eyes, spoke through her mouth, heard in her voice, and compassed her all about. When she was still or when she walked, whether she smiled or was sad, her sinless soul, this it was which would draw all to her." Well, why look at amiable? When the rubber hits the road, what virtue can be hardest, love of God or love of neighbor? Most will say love of neighbor. For example, St. Therese, when entering the austere Carmelite monastery, did find the poor food, little sleep, and above all, the intense cold difficult. What she found hardest, she writes, was living with her sisters, some of whom did not like her who had difficult personalities. When you and I reflect, we can manage with some effort physical pain or deprivation of comforts. But what we often find most challenging are people who irk us. Every saint had someone or many who tested him or her. Recall, Our Lady lived among people. Many probably looked down upon her when pregnant before moving in with St. Joseph, a wife of a poor carpenter coming from a small, unknown village. Despite the trials she faced, being misunderstood by others, Mary remained gentle, kind, and open-hearted. She did not withdraw or grow bitter. She always remained amiable. This brings us to the wisdom of Pope Leo XIV, who on June 14th addressed young people in the Chicago Archdiocese. He emphasized the very same quality we see in Mary, what he called friendship. He reminded them that in building community, in fostering true friendship, we discover meaning. That's what Mary shows us: amiability rooted not in mood or convenience, but in love, a love that radiated from the flame in her heart. We've covered the meaning and importance of amiability, and let's go now to what Our Lady means to you. What's your perception of Mary? What do you imagine or think of when you think of Our Lady? I hope loving in some way came to your mind. Who doesn't like a loving person? Sometimes we don't think of Mary as lovable, but just distant or too holy for us. Is this your perception, or of others you know? If anyone has this perception, it's probably due to seemingly holy but grumpy people in your lives. You've heard the expression, yes, he's saintly, but I would not like to live with him. Mary isn't like those people who appear holy, but are self-righteous and judgmental. These people, unlike Mary, still have the effects of original sin. We recall Mary is sinless. In fact, if we have a true perception of her, there's in her something which draws us to her, which makes us want to be with her, to speak to her, to hear her speak to us. What is this something? It's what is described by the title, Mother Most Amiable. Her lovableness, unselfishness, kindness, her interest in and desire to help us. We know what it means when people aren't amiable, when they seem cold, forbidding, and we feel they would not put themselves out to listen to us or care what we're suffering or desire to help us. Those are not the people we want to go and speak to or be with and live. Perhaps we ourselves, in some of our moods at least, are too often of this type. Perhaps our self-absorption keeps people away from us, and they would describe us not as most lovable, but as most unlovable. Who sees us as lovable or not? The outsiders? Definitely not. Those who really know us, who live with us, can tell us whether we're lovable or not. What do people around us think of us, like our family, our spouses, our coworkers, etc.? We're called to practice amiability most of all with our own family. Now, as we reflect on this, it's important to remember that grace builds on nature. Just as our natural personal traits shape the way we interact, grace enhances those qualities. If we aren't already practicing human natural virtues, it'll be difficult to imitate the supernatural ones, such as loving our enemies, always looking at the good qualities of another, and overlooking faults, and always speaking well of the other. Now let's take a moment to see how people treasure amiability, even from a natural perspective. From a non-religious source, I will read 11 natural virtues that flow from amiability. As I read each one and its description, ask yourself in all truth, good or bad, whether you practice this virtue or not. 1, practice empathy. Seek to understand others' perspectives and feelings. Listen actively without judgment. 2, express genuine interest. Show interest in others' lives, experiences, and opinions. Remember and inquire about important details shared by others. 3, be approachable. Maintain open body language, like making eye contact and smiling. Avoid negative or standoffish behavior. Create a welcoming atmosphere for others to feel comfortable around you. 4, cultivate positivity. Focus on the positive aspects of situations and people. Avoid gossip and negative talk. Share uplifting stories or giving compliments. 5, practice good communication. Communicate clearly. Use a friendly and respectful tone. Be mindful of your own nonverbal cues, such as facial expressions and gestures. 6, show appreciation. Express gratitude for the efforts and kindness of others. Acknowledge and appreciate people's contributions. 7, be flexible and understanding. Adapt to changes with a positive attitude. Understand that everyone has a different perspective and way of doing things. Avoid being overly critical or rigid. I add, choose your battles. Some things are worth fighting for, such as the right to life. Some things are not, but are just opinions or mere preferences. Let us stand up for truth, but not only our little opinions or preferences. 8, apologize and forgive. Apologize when making a mistake or unintentionally hurting someone. Practice forgiveness and let go of grudges. Recognize that everyone is fallible. 9, develop a sense of humor. Use humor to lighten the mood and build connection. Avoid sarcasm or jokes that may offend others. Be willing to laugh first at ourselves. 10, build trust. Be reliable and keep your commitments. Demonstrate honesty and integrity in your actions. Respect confidentiality. And again, avoid gossiping. Cultivate patience. Exercise patience in dealing with others, especially during challenging situations. Avoid rushing or pressuring people. Understand that everyone has his or own pace. These are all from a non-religious source, but we can certainly appropriate them as Christian Catholics. Do you always and everywhere imitate these natural aspects of amiability? If not, which is probably the case for most of us, then beg Our Lady constantly to help you grow in one specific area. Ask for her intercession daily. Perhaps at this point, you're aware of some jarring faults in yourself when it comes to being amiable. Don't let this discourage you. St. Francis de Sales tells us, God so loves humility that he sometimes tests us, permitting us to say or do some foolish thing, giving us reason to humble ourselves. St. Thérèse of Lisieux also encourages us, if we're thinking of our faults, I would rather see my faults with humility than practice virtue with pride. When thinking of a virtue to develop, have a game plan. Be specific. Which of Mary's virtues speak to you most, either because you long for it or because you know you lack for it? In prayer, select that one. That's where the battle begins and where grace will meet you. To illustrate, I will give 2 fictitious examples. And if anyone is named by the names, it's totally providential or coincidental. Example. At meals, Michelle loves to talk. She never gives anyone else a chance to get in. Michelle needs to work on listening more. Another example, John, who's meticulous, gets annoyed with others who work too fast. John needs to work on patience. Now we'll go over some objections to imitating Mary and answers to these objections. Mary's perfect. I admire her, but how can I ever imitate her? Answer, Recall that Mary was not the only woman without sin. There were two, Eve and Mary. Eve experienced temptations and gave in at least to one big one. Mary also wrestled with temptations. Our IHM foundress, Mother Joanne, used to say, "Don't rob Our Lady of virtue." Yes, Our Lady too struggled and overcame temptations. Well, I'm a guy. How can I expect to be like Mary? Answer, ask St. Maximilian Kolbe or St. John Paul II that question. Just as women are called to be firm and strong, men are called to be gentle and loving. I don't have any feelings toward Mary, but I'm devoted to her. I connect best with Jesus. Answer, as long as you honor Mary in your heart without feelings, you are devoted, and perhaps Mary is the maid of honor, bringing you to the bridegroom, Jesus. Mary always points to Jesus. I don't have the temperament to be quiet and gentle. Mary experienced the balance of all four temperaments: the quick, intense individual, choleric; the quick but less intense and more social person, sanguine; the intense but introspective individual, melancholic; the steady and persevering person, phlegmatic. Our Lady embodies the perfect balance of all four human temperaments. She shows the energy and decisiveness of the choleric in her quick response to Elizabeth's need at the visitation. She displays the warmth and attentiveness of the sanguine in her presence at the wedding at Cana, quick to notice the problem and act. She reveals the deep inward reflection of the melancholic as she ponders the angel's message at the Annunciation. And she shows the perseverance and quiet strength of the phlegmatic as she stands faithfully beneath the cross. Our Lady teaches that holiness is not limited by our natural temperament, but perfected by grace. It's from being with Mary that we will imitate her, but also striving our best to develop natural virtue and to responding to God's grace. Mother most amiable, pray for us.